And we began a series last week called Standing Firm, Standing Firm. And last week we talked about standing firm in God's will. What does God want for my life? And whenever we know what God wants for our lives, God wants us to stand firm on that. And this week we're going to be talking about standing firm on God's works, the thing that God does. I thought that was interesting that Greg Schatzer was up here and he was reading some of the things from the founding fathers of our country. And whenever I was in school, the subject of history was just, I don't know, to me it seemed kind of boring. To remember all the names and to remember all the dates, and then you got tested on all the names and dates. It's like, oh man, who wants to know all of that? But you know, as you get older, you get a little bit wiser, hopefully. And, all of those names and dates, they have a purpose behind those. And for me, whenever I began to connect some of the purpose of the names and the dates that were there, it kind of brings history to life a little bit more, because this is his story. This is God's story. I've been telling y'all, I've been going through this book. I haven't quite made it yet. I've just been taking my time. But this book is called For You, They Sign, written by Marilyn Boyer. And it talks about the 55 different signers of the Declaration of Independence. And all of those men that came here along with their wives and many women that came over to be here in this country, they didn't come here just to start another country. For many of them, that was kind of the furthest thing from their mind. They wanted to come over to this new land to be here that they might worship God in the way that he wanted them to. The whole reason that this country came about was because the king was becoming very oppressive in the things that he demanded from them, in the taxes that he was putting against them. And all of them, I should say most of them, they had a view that God is in control. They had a view that God was going to work all of these things out. And in fact, on September 5th, 1774, 2 years before we declared our independence from Great Britain, the first Congress was held in Philadelphia. And they opened with prayer, and they opened with reading the Bible, specifically in Psalm 35. And just the prayer and the Bible lasted for hours on end before they began their meeting. And this was some of the things that they said. This was George Washington, whenever he began to remember after the revolution had taken place and war was declared. This is what he said: God clearly showed his providence in mighty ways during the revolution. It was truly a miracle that the American Navy would attempt a battle with the British warships. The American Navy, they fought with rowboats that had a cannon at each end of the rowboat. They had taken out two British warships, one of them loaded with 20 guns, the other one loaded with 64 guns. Now, you just imagine that, okay? Getting in your fishing boat, getting in your rowboat, okay, and having a cannon on each end. I would just be praying that the boat wouldn't flip over and go down. But yet to go up and to go against a ship with 20 guns and 64 guns. God's hand was there. As Adams later told his wife of the victory at Fort Mifflin, "It appeared to me the eternal Son of God is operating powerfully against the British nation." Even he recognized. In Washington's first address to the people, he said, as a president, he said, "No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States. Every step by which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seem to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency." He recognizes God's hand at work through the whole thing. Even the standards that Washington held his troops to were of Christian character and of Christian value. "Every officer and man will endeavor as to live and act as becomes a Christian soldier, defending the dearest rights and liberties of his country." And so you see, back then, freedom, religion, and politics, they weren't this separate thing that we have nowadays. Religion and politics, and we know that those are the two no-no topics that you're not supposed to talk about when you're with other people, but really there's some of the things that we need to talk about whenever we're with other people. Those two things, they go hand in hand. Why? Because this nation was founded on the principles of the Bible, of God, of Jesus. And what a great thing that was, and that they did. And they could see God's hand at work all through that time. In the very verses that we read in Psalm 78, that was a psalm that was written to remind the Israelites of what God had done, of where he had taken them from and where he was bringing them to. Standing firm on God's works. And really, that's what these verses are talking about here in Proverbs chapter 3 and these verses 1 through 5. God tells them not to forget his law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. God wants us to stand firm on the things that he has done, to remember those things, to bring them past. Now, what are some of God's works that the Jewish people could stand firm on? Some of the things that God required them to remember, or at least some of the things that they put in that box called the phylactery. Proverbs 3:3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." Why? So you will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. If we would go back to Matthew, we talked about it last week, that they wore these boxes called phylacteries. And they would take and they would have scriptures in there that were important for them to know. And specifically, there were four scriptures in there that they were to know and to have about in there. And we're going to turn to them. Exodus chapter 13, verse 2 is the first one of four that we're going to look at. Now, there may have been some other ones that they may have put in there, but I believe each one of these, they help us and they help the Israelites to stand firm on God's works. And it's interesting, even in talking about Sunday school, over here we've been talking about the tabernacle and how they set it up and how things were done a particular way and how each item that was in the tabernacle really kind of reflected back, or should I say forward, to Jesus and what Jesus was going to do. Exodus chapter 13, We'll read verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," this is what God said, "Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast." Let's read those last three words. "It is mine." That's right. God says, "It is mine." This was one scripture that would have been written and put in that box. And why would they have that scripture there? Because God wanted them to know, number one, that it is mine. It is His. All of it. It is His. You know, a lot of times we think some of the first things that we get, those are things that we like to enjoy. And then maybe whenever we're done with those things, what do? Oh, we pass the leftovers out to other people. Okay? For instance, whenever our gardens come in, what do we usually do? We bring in the first fruits into our house and we make tomato paste or tomato juice or tomato sauce or peppers and cut that. And we stock our freezers up, don't we? And then whenever we have leftovers, then we begin to pass those out to other people and we begin to share. But God says here that everything is His. "Even sanctify unto me all the firstborn, everything that opened up the womb, because it is His." It is His. He wants to be honored with that, with the first fruits that were there. Isn't that so interesting how God, way back here in Exodus, He sets up for things in the future whenever He begins to talk to the New Testament church and how they were to bring what? The first fruits to Him. Their giving to Him. And that's what God wants. He wanted them to remember that all is God's, including them. Each one of us here, we are God's. The next scripture that they would have stuck in, just look down a couple verses at Exodus 13 and verse 11. Exodus 13 and verse 11. "And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as He sware, as He promised unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's." Now, mainly they would have had verse number 11 in there, but why would they have had verse number 11 in there? For them to remember where they had come from. Up until this time, the Jewish people, they were in captivity in Egypt. They were slaves. And it was something that they got used to. They got used to working at certain times and having people over them and having security there with having food and shelter every day. But God wanted to remember them, to remind them what He had done for them. "Remember what I brought you from. Remember what I brought you out of. This was a promise that I made clear back to Abraham." And God is saying that He keeps His promises the same way in your life, and promises that God has given to you. He keeps His promises, and God will come through. He wasn't going to let them be a slave for the rest of their lives, but He had so much more for them. And that's a promise that God gives to you and to me. And what a great thing that God does. Another scripture they would have had in that little box, thy phylactery, is over in Deuteronomy. Let's turn over there. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Now, they mainly would have had just verse 4 in there, but we're going to read down to verse 7 because I believe that all of those kind of go together. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now, mainly they would have had verse number 4 tucked in that box, or sometimes they would have even had them on their arm. But that's because they knew almost every Jewish person, they would have known all of those verses by heart. If you would have come up to the street and you would have asked them to say those verses, they could have rattled them off right like that. Why? Because that was just ingrained into their society. That was ingrained into their training. And he wanted them to know that it's about a relationship with him. It comes down to a heart issue, verse 6. That he wanted those words to be in their heart. He wanted it to affect the way that they lived, just like General Washington and the standards that he required from the soldiers that were there. They were to live like Christian men. They were to dress like Christian men. They were to do Christian things. And it was about a relationship with him. That's all God has wanted from the beginning of time till forever. Is a relationship. That's what he wanted with Adam and Eve. He wanted a relationship. That's why he came down and he talked with them. When? In the cool of the evening. And he had fellowship with them. And man, isn't it great to have fellowship with each other? Yesterday, we were able to go over to, we're one of those crazy 20,000 people that were down at Antietam Battlefield watching the fireworks down there. We've been going over there for the last, 10 years, just kind of off and on. But you know what? Everybody kind of has their spot. It's just like church. Y'all come. I can tell you Sean's going to sit over there, and Irvin's going to sit there, and John's going to sit back. I can tell you where all y'all are going to sit, okay? And it's the same way down there. You go down there, and you see the different people in their different spots. And guess what? We went down to our spot where we normally sit at, okay? That's where we were, just kind of down to the side of the stage that was there. And the Maryland Symphony Orchestra, they do different patriotic hymns that are, or not hymns, but patriotic songs that are there. And it's just a neat time. And we see different people that, hey, I remember you from last year. Yeah, shaking their hand and getting to know them. And just the time of fellowship that is there. We sit there and we talk with them and we have a good time that's there. And you know what? That's the way it is with God. He wants to have a fellowship with us. You know, because it comes down to a heart issue. You know what? Not only does he want to have fellowship with us, but guess what? He wants us to pass it on down. And that's why they knew these verses about Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 7. And really, even verse 8 ties in with that. And thou shalt bind them for a sign on thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, the phylactery box that we talked about. He wanted them to pass on those principles to their children. He wanted them to pass those things on. Why? So that they could have faith. So that they could have a relationship with God. You know, it's the same way about things in this country. To see the importance of this country is passed down from generation to generation to generation. And what a great thing that it is that God wants for us. And friend, are we doing that? Are we passing that down? Are we having a relationship with God? Are we talking with Him? Are we spending time in His Word? Are we spending time with His people? Are we spending time in His house? These are the things that the Jewish people would have looked to and would have constantly been there. That's the same way, even thinking about the tabernacle as Rod was teaching this morning. You know what? That was the central point of their life. Because there were three tribes to the what? East. And there were three tribes to the? And three tribes to the? And three tribes to the? Okay, yeah. And that was the central focus. God was the central focus that was there. And God wants to be the central focus in our lives. Last scripture they would have had in there, you're in Deuteronomy, look at chapter 11 and verse 13. This was the promise that God gave. We're going to read down to verse 15. It says that it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart. Here we go, talking about the heart again. And with all of your soul. And I will send grass in the fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And here it is coming down to a heart issue. How's the grass going to grow so the cattle can be fed? Watering is going to help. And this is something that blows our mind because we don't understand this. But also, obedience to the Word of God. Obedience to the Word of God. This reminds us to be, that word hearken there means to attentively obey. We're paying attention to God. We're paying attention to His Word. We're paying attention to how He is working in our lives. And He's calling us unto Himself. And He says that if we will obey, that there is promises that go with that. That if we obey Him with our heart, if we obey Him with our soul, that the rain is going to come, that the things are going to grow, that there's going to be plenty of oil, that there's going to be plenty of wine that's there, plenty of corn to feed off of, and things for our cattle. And we're going to be eating, we're going to be full. Why? Because of God. Because our attention is there and it is on Him. What a great thing that God gives. In 1985, for the first time in more than 50 years, Congress authorized the issue of official U.S. government coins. Beginning in 1986, these new coins came on the market. Each of these American Eagles, as they are known, is guaranteed by the U.S. Mint. Anybody know how many carats of gold they have in them? No, 22 carats of gold. 22 carats of gold. They come in 1/10, 1/4, 1/2, and 1 ounce sizes. And buyers from around the world, they trust these coins. Why? Because they have the promise of the U.S. government that they are made the way that they are. And when it comes to Scripture, we have something far more reliable than the guarantee of a government. We have the promise of Almighty God, the creator of this world. Why? Because He is perfect and pure, which means His Word is going to be perfect and pure. God promised to preserve His Word for us. That means that according to the promise of God, we can have complete faith that every word in the Bible is there on purpose. Psalm 12:7 says, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Proverbs 35, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in them." He is a shield to them that trust in Him. Friend, are we standing firm on God's works? Well, Pastor Greg, that was for the Jewish person back then. How about us today? How about us New Testament Christians that are here? We're living in the 21st century. We're battling out against Satan, and he's constantly coming against us. And friend, God wants you to stand firm on his works and the things that he has done in your life and the things that he has done in your family's life. And there's times that you remember that God has provided. Now, what works? What has God done for us? Turn over in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. These are some works that we can stand firm on. And when I say we, I mean those that know Jesus as their Savior. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. This is to everyone that likes to pull up our own bootstraps, me included, because I can get that way sometimes. I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. Verse 6, "For when we were yet without what? Strength." When we had no power in our legs to get up, when we had no power to do anything about the sin in our lives, he says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Friend, this is a work that we can stand on, that Christ died for us, because all of us are ungodly. We are not God, we are not Jesus, we are not the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That means that we're a sinner, that we've sinned, that we've separated ourselves from God. God's work on the cross, we can stand on. The Lord's Supper that we partook of today, it's not something that any mere man did, but it's something that God did for us. And we can stand on His work that He did, because it's something that will last forever. Not only can we stand on God's work on the cross, turn back in John chapter 19 and verse 30. John chapter 19 and verse 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, what did he say? "It is finished." He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. And friend, we can stand on God's work because it is finished. There's nothing more that we have to do. There's nothing more that we have can add to it, because his work is finished. He sat down on the right hand of God after he said it was finished. He gave up the ghost. It was done. It's complete. A redemptive work is done. And friend, it is finished. We can rely on it. We can take that home to the bank. And not only that, but his work is redemptive. Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." His work is not only his work. His work is not only finished, but his work can redeem us from our sins. Do you understand that? To billions and billions of people across the world, that is a foreign statement to them. There are people today that are on their hands and knees over in Rome, Italy, that are climbing up to the cathedral, that are kissing every step as they go up. Why? Because they're trying to please God in the things that they can do, that they might earn a spot in heaven. But God says redemption only comes through what? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, it doesn't rely on us, but it relies on Him. And it's all on Him. And we need to stand firm in God's works and the things that He has done. And friend, even in our lives. If you sit down and you even just think about your life, even for the last week or the last month, friend, you can look and see God's hand at work in your life. You can. And friend, even if you don't think that you can, just give it some time. You'll realize that He protected you over something. You're going to realize that He kept you from doing something that you shouldn't do. You're going to realize that He provided for you in a way that only He could. God's works that we can stand firm on. How do we do this? How do we stand on God's works? How do we trust in Him? Number one, we have to stay in the faith. You have to stay in the faith. You have to stay by the book. Colossians 1:23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, where I, Paul, am made a minister. He wants us to stay in the faith. Stay grounded. Stay in God's word. That every morning that you get up and that you sit down with God's word and you're reading it and you're staying in the faith, that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to stay in the faith. Continue in it. How else do we do this? Number one, we have to saddle up with God's armor. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. He tells us in Ephesians 6 and verse 11, we're not to leave home without it. Kind of sounds like a credit card commercial, don't it? Never leave home without it, huh? This is the way it is in God's word, Ephesians 6, 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to what? Stand. Stand against what? The wiles of the devil, that's right. The wiles of the devil. Why? Because every day He's going to come at you. Satan's going to figure out a way to try to get to you. We were just talking about that in the family yesterday at the breakfast table. Eating pancakes, the different armor and the different pieces, that is there. For every day we have to saddle up with God's armor. And to know that because of that armor, because of trust in Him, because of God, we can stand against the wiles of the devil. And friend, that shield of faith that He gives, that it can fend off those darts that are there, saddle up with God's armor. You know what? If you're going to saddle up with His armor, you have to know His book. You have to be in His word. You have to know what God says. You have to apply it to your life. Friend, you can come to a church service every Sunday, but if God doesn't move and work in your heart, then what good is it? His word needs to change our lives. Stay in the faith. Saddle up with God's armor. Last one we're going to look at, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. We have to stay in the faith, we have to saddle up with God's armor, and we have to stay awake. We have to live this life on purpose. We do. We have to live this life on purpose. Friend, if we're just going to kick back and we're just going to say, hey, whatever happens is whatever happens. Hey, if my children happen to turn out good for the Lord, well, they happen to turn out good for the Lord. Or if my grandchildren, they happen to turn out good for the, they happen to turn out good for the Lord. Or if things happen at work to be, well, just so be it. But God wants us to watch. God wants us to stand fast in the faith. No matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, stand fast in the faith. Be strong. Why? Because God is on our side. If we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, God is on our side. He is walking with us. That's the only way that we can live this life, is through Him. And friend, live this life on purpose. You know what? Things turn out a certain way because we put effort and we put energy and we put a focus into those things. And it's the same way with living our lives for the Lord. There has to be an energy. There has to be a focus put in, because you know what? There's another agenda that is against God's. There is. And you know what? Even the people that are around you in your life, the people that live with you, the people that are in your family, the people that are in your work, you can affect them. A small pebble drops into a lake, but the ripples go far out, man. You can affect everyone in every area of your life. Stand with God. Stay in the faith. Settle up with God's armor. Stay awake. Don't let go of the wheel. God is working in your life. God is showing you who He is. Friend, will you submit to Him? Will you give over to God and what He wants for you?